السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، ثم أما بعد. اليوم هو يوم القيامة، والمشهد هو مشهد الحشر، والموقف هو موقف الحساب. The day is a day of judgment, and the event is the account, and the station has to do with that particular position before we start heading towards our destination on the Day of Judgment. I want each one of us to visualize that position. كُلُّ مِنَّا يَنْظُرُ نَفْسَهُ بِذَلِكَ الْمَكَانِ. Just imagine yourself in that position right now. It's the final day, which means there's nothing you can do about it. It's already done. There's no more time, there's no space for improvement. And you cannot just try to revoke what you have done in the past. What you did is done. That is one of the most critical positions a man or woman would ever see themselves in. ذلك يوم لا مناص منه. لن يستطيع الإنسان أن يرجع عما فعل لا أن يقدم ولا أن يؤخر إلا برحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. It's all about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I want each one of us to put themselves in that position. يوم القيامة له مشاهد كثيرة. The judgment has so many different stations and events, not just one. It begins with one crucial event that each one of us individually is going to have to take. We call it death. هو الموت. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مات ابن آدم فقد قامت قيامته. When the son of Adam dies, his or her day of judgment has already been established. You might say, but hold on a second, يوم القيامة, no one knows exactly what's going to happen. That is true. But if you're dead, what does it matter to you? When you're dead, your day of judgment already established. You're waiting there in that chamber, we call the barzakh, until everybody is resurrected. That day of resurrection is not your business. Your business is your own yawm al-qiyamah, that is death. What have we prepared for that? One thing that we all going to be questioned about, no doubt. And one thing that is going to be the first thing we will be asked about on Judgment Day. And that's what I'm saying about that event at that particular station. That station is the station where we have collected our deeds. Those who have done good, they know that they have done good. Those who have done bad, they know they have done bad. But still now, you need to know how much good you have done and how much compensation you need to make for some of these losses in your accounts. أحد هذه المشاهد الأولى يوم القيامة كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السؤال عن الصلاة. One of these first stations, one of these stations of that event particularly, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, is to be questioned about your salah. فَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ أَوَّلُ مَا يَسْأَلَ عَنْهُ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing the son of Adam, man or woman, will be asked about in regard to their worship on the Day of Judgment, would be الصَّلَاةِ. فَإِنْ صَلْحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَنَجَحَ. The first thing you'll be asked about as salah. If it was sound, then you will succeed and you will pass. فَلَمْ تَكُنْ. And if it wasn't safe, it wasn't sound, the person will be stopped. And they will say, Ya Abdullah. And I want you to imagine that now. The angels are taking you individually, just for your knowledge. They're speaking with us as individuals, not as groups. Individuals. And they will say, Ya Abdullah, let me see your records. Show me your salah. And now you grab your record and you start opening a chapter on salah. And they say, let's see, how long did you live? I lived 50 years, 60 years, 20 years, more or less. Okay, calculate that immediately. The number of salawat should be that much. Let's get to see how many salawat you have. And instead of having 60,000 some salawat, you have 50 something. You have about 10,000 salah missing. Where are they? Something is missing. Where are they? أول ما يسأل عنه العبد يوم القيامة. Even if you try and you say, well, can I just ever show you something else? He said, can I show you my fasting? Look at me. I have never missed Ramadan in my life. Even when I was 7 years old. Well, that's fine, that's good, but where's the salah? I need the salah now. Forget about fasting. Okay, you know what? I was a charitable person. Look how much I paid. I was rich, alhamdulillah, and I've been paying all this money. Look at it. Well, that's very impressive, but where's your salah first? I have never lied, I've never cheated, I've never done anything wrong like so many people do and say about themselves. He told them, Ya Abdullah, why don't you pray? And they will tell you, Inshallah, someday. Okay, but that's not enough, you have to do something. Well, alhamdulillah, listen, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I don't drink, I don't do anything. But do you pray? Regardless how much you try to convince the angels on that day, it won't be impressive at all. Because the first question is going to be about salah. You better be ready for that question. And you better already prepare that answer for this. So they will ask you and see, where's your salah? And you check it out. Alhamdulillah, it's full. My salah is full in number. In my lifetime, I was obligated to pray that much. And I have them all full. Alhamdulillah, you'll be happy with it. However, there is something else to be checked. Hold on a second. Yes, you do have the salah full here, but the quality is not very impressive. Half of your salah was just in your shortcuts. You begin your salah, Allahu Akbar, and then suddenly you're thinking about your work, your school, your life, your wife, whatever. So your salah, yes, you did the number of salah, but it's not that good, it's not enough. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, people will stand up in salah, tiring themselves. You stand until you feel exhausted. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمِنَ النَّاسِ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِلَّا رُبُعًا. Some people, they get only 1/4. Reward? 1/4. Some people get half, 1/3, 1/6, more or less. Then he said, وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِلَّا مَا رُعًا. You don't get from your salah except that part, that portion of salah for which you have been conscious. Means the part that you are aware of. You might be standing in salah for 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in salah to pleasure sometimes, and you don't get anything except for the last 2 seconds. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The rest of it, you're just thinking when the imam is going to finish. You don't get anything from your salah. So even though the number is there, but the quality isn't. So the salah record might be full in number, but in quality isn't. What's going to happen to us? If this was the first question, imagine the second, the third, the fourth, and so on. It doesn't matter. After this, it would not matter. Anything else, it would not matter. Except for this matter first. Then the angels will say, Ya Abdullah, that's not enough. We saw it. Honestly, it's impressive what you have there, but your salah is not complete. You need to have some solution for this. What are you going to say about it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yunadi, انظر هل لعبدي من تطوع. Check his record. Out of His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. Out of His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be asked, or they will be told, check His record. Did He leave anything? Did my servant, did she leave any sunnah, salah? How about rawatib, how about nawatib? How many nawatib did they make during lifetime? كم من النوافل صلى هذا الرجل تلك المرأة. انظر, just check your salah. And they will check. Say, my Lord, no, there's nothing there. It seems that he was always, or she was always hasty. If it was Duhur Salah, they just pray the Fard and they leave. If it was Maghrib Salah, there are no record that they've maintained the Sunnah. Isha, nothing. Just Salah, Fard, that's it. So the option of Salah, Salatul Nafilah, Fariha, هذا الكتاب يأتي فارغا يوم القيامة من صلاة السنة التطوع لله سبحانه وتعالى. Will come completely empty, clean. The angels will not be impressed. الملائكة تنظر وتقول يا رب ليس له فيها شيء. Okay, what are you going to say about that? ماذا تقول؟ ماذا ستفعل؟ صلاتك الآن لا كاملة لا في العدد ولا حتى في النوعية. So it's incomplete in terms of number and quality. And on top of that, you didn't do anything else beside it. No nafil, لا صلاة راتبة ولا تحية المسجد ولا حتى سنة وضوء ولا صلاة استخارة ولا قيام ليل ولا تراويح. None of these salah, nothing that you've done it in your lifetime. And now you expect that you're going to be saved? The Prophet ﷺ said, أول ما يسأل عنه العبد يوم القيامة, the first to be pushed about on Judgment Day will be الصلاة. And now we have the record is incomplete. The Sunnah is completely vacant. شيخ حفظكم الله ترى الله أستاذ شيخ. خلص الأعمال اسمع الشيخ وحبك قطع الشيخ زي الله خير نعم الله. So on the day of judgment, when there is nothing that can substitute for the loss of your salah, then the command will come. Jahannam. Iyadu billah. People will be thrown into Jahannam because they did not complete their salah. Al-Fard is missing. The quality is missing. And sometimes, even though we make our salah, but we know that we make mistakes, and we never even thought about learning how to fix our salah. Yes, for insan fi salatihi. يخطئ في صلاته ولا حتى يتأمل ولا يفكر أن يتعلم كيف يصلح ذلك الخطأ. We don't even learn how to fix our salah if we make mistakes. Why? الله غفور رحيم. He is all forgiving, most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed he is. But he also said that he should have a severe punishment. Which means you need to prepare for both, for his mercy, and escape that wrath. Now, that individual who goes to Jahannam, you might say, but didn't that person say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Absolutely. Every individual who says from the bottom of their hearts, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, faqad dakhala al-Islam. Kullu man qala La ilaha illallah, khalisan min qalbihi, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dakhala al-Jannah. Everybody who says that would eventually enter Jannah. But when they enter Jannah, they're going to be immediately, not necessarily. That's the point. Be the lead. Other people now, who will grab their records, and they check their records. Okay, let me see your salah. Your salah, mashallah, in terms of number, is perfect. Alhamdulillah. Okay, how about the quality? Tabarakallah. It's very nice. So what else do you have? I have extra credit. We call it sunnah. Nafila. So you have extra credit. That's wonderful. Don't you guys get excited, specifically students? You get excited when you just somehow make a mistake on your exam and then alhamdulillah the extra credit makes it up to 100. And on top of that, if you get the 100 and then you have extra credit, then you'll be even more excited. Extra excitement right now for you. So you become so joyful by that. That will happen the day of judgment. Your salah is full. The quality is perfect. And you have extra credit. Then they will tell you, pass. Allah Akbar. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلح ما بعدها. If you pass this, everything else after that becomes easier. How about Ramadan? Well, there's something missing in there. But it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar Rahim. Pass. Okay, how about this? I didn't do that. Allahu Akbar Rahim. Pass. Everything else after Salah would be easy. But Salah by itself is the most difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned al-salah there in the Quran so many times. In the term aqimu salah, wa aqimu salah, wa atu zakah. Aqimu salah, establish salah, establish salah. The command, establish salah. And that salah was even established way before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down here with Islam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, قال رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة. He was the first one that back then saying, My Lord, اجعلني مقيم الصلاة. Make me an offspring, those who establish الصلاة. From Ibrahim عليه السلام's time. And he was Ibrahim. He was asking Allah to make him those who maintain الصلاة. Musa, the same thing, they established الصلاة. Isa عليه السلام, وأوصاني بالصلاة. He is still a baby, an infant. And first reward that came out of his mouth, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala command me in regard to protect my salah. In regard to my salah, to protect my salah. And he was still in an infant. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you continue the legacy. This is a divine link. The divine link that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to be maintained and to keep sound. The value of salah, we understand it from the obligation of salah and how it became obligatory. The salah, we mentioned that actually in lecture last night, the story of salah came down from the beginning of the state of Islam. From the beginning, Muslims were commanded to pray. However, the salah that we know today, the type of salah that we know today, came with special instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ربنا تبارك وتعالى لم ينزلها مع جبريل إنما أمر محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يحضر بحضرة جبريل معه إلى السماء السابعة. Allah سبحانه وتعالى commanded جبريل to go and bring Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم from his place all the way up to the seventh heaven and give him that command. You order your followers to pray 5 times a day. That is why it's so special and why that's why it's called divine link. So it's so important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maintained that until the last breath. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the value of salah to be one of the 5 pillars of Islam. Why is it so heavy on day of judgment? Why are we going to be stopped at that station on day of judgment? Because of that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Islam was established on 5 pillars. The first one, Shahadati an la ilaha illallah. To bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Thumma qal, wa iqam salah. To establish salah. And then everything will come after that. Immediately, iqam salah. To establish salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, بين المرء والكفر والشرك ترك الصلاة. The criteria is between the individual, man or woman, and committing shirk, sharing partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or kufr, committing that infidelity, which means the kufr, disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to abandon as-salah. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The covenant that distinguishes between us and them, the disbelievers, is a salah. Whoever abandons salah فقد كفر is indeed committed kufr, disbelief, an act of disbelief. From these ahadith, our ulama, they gave salah a very, very special position in our deen. What's the position of salah in our deen? And why is it so heavy that much on the day of judgment? That will be the first station. And the first question that you're going to be asked about on judgment day in regard to ibadah and worship will be as-salah. Number one, because it's the main pillar of Islam. Once you say La ilaha illallah, what is next? What comes next? 5 times a day. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala was sent to Yemen, down south. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commanded him when he goes there, قَالَ يَا مُعَادْ When you go to people, you're coming to people of Ahl al-Kitab. These are people who follow another book. It's Christians and Jews. So when you call them, فَإِذَا دَعَوْتُمْ فَدْعُمْ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَا مُحَمَّدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ First thing you tell them about, you invite them to, is to witness and testify there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. فَإِنْ أَجَابُوكَ لِذَلِكَ If they obey you to this one, if they listen to that, فَأَعْلِمْهُ Let them know. And Allah قَدْ فَرْضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي الْيَوْمِ وَاللَّيْلَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory upon them to pray 5 times a day. فَإِنْهُمْ أَجَابُوكَ لِذَلِكَ If they obey you for this, then next, the next and the following pillar. So the first thing after Shahada comes Salah. Once a person become a Muslim, the person they need to learn that they need to maintain now 5 times for dedicating 5 times for devotion. Standing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship and ibadah. The second thing, the salah we learn is so significant because it was made an obligation in the Sana' al-Sabi'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received that command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between the Jum'ah, with no translated interpreter in the middle. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who spoke to Muhammad directly sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to receive that obligation of salah. This salah we know that is so important that a public call was made mandatory in order to establish the timing for this salawat. What do you call this public call? Adhan. Show me any other ibadah that has a public call. Fasting doesn't have a public call. In Muslim countries, actually they launch cannons. But it happens only once or twice a year. Once at the beginning of the month and one at the end of the month. And that's it. After that, it's over. But this is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't have any cannons back then. But Salah has 5 daily prayers, Adhan. When it comes to Zakah, it was left for your conscience as a believer. No one tells you that it's time to pay Zakah. It is you who calculate your Zakah. It is you who know when the time for Zakah becomes due. And it is you who is going to be paying that Zakah out. No one's going to be chasing you around. So it's you who will be calling for that. When it comes to Hajj, we know that the Hajj comes once a year. But there is no Adhan for it. Come to Hajj. It's you who make the decision, I need to go to Hajj this year, inshaAllah ta'ala. But when it comes to the Salah, someone else is calling for the Salah. It's not you who says, I'm going to make the Salah or the Adhan. No, the Adhan, whether you make it or not, it is going to be called. And the call, calling all people to come for that salah. And subhanAllah, ya akhwan, wallahi al-adhan lahu yani, lahu ajab. And I speak with so many non-Muslims and make so many extra presentations about Islam. And one of the things that fascinates people who visit Muslim countries is I ask them, because I usually ask them if they visit Muslim countries or not. So we so many people went there for tourism or for something else. Eventually I said, what was the most fascinating thing that you still remember from these times that you spent there? And almost like in an unanimous agreement, one of the fascinating moments or fascinating time that they remember from there is the Adhan. Yaqul Adhan. I remember a couple, wallahi, when they were talking to me about their stay in Morocco, and in Jalasa the mother put them as Zaman. Fathatuli, they said that the best time that they used to remember was the Adhan. And the best Adhan to hear and listen to, guess which one? Thursday. Now we hear that from that Muslim. Some Muslims today they say, it's too loud, please make it loud or whatever. And these people, they missed Adhan and Fajr. When I was talking to them and they were describing to me Adhan and Fajr, that when they used to wake up for it, wallahi, they were crying. And they were in their 50s. You can see the tears in their eyes, they're chalking. So that was so beautiful, that was so fascinating, that was so amazing, so majestic, magical moment in their lives. Do you know that some people, they become Muslim just because of hearing the Adhan? Some people, they just heard the Adhan makes them Muslims. And I do remember watching, actually, or reading a story of someone in Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. One of those visitor workers, who came, I believe, from Asia, I think from Philippines. And he became Muslim just because of the Adhan. One time he was walking in the market, probably his first time, and when he arrives, and suddenly he said, we heard some kind of loud voice. You know how the Bedouins in Riyadh, they call Adhan? They don't make Adhan so beautiful, by the way. They just have that traditional, oh, or something like that. So the guy heard that was silent. Because when he saw everybody locking their doors and their stores and so on, and walking towards one direction. He thought they were going for a shelter. So he started walking with them. And the guy simply just see, everybody just was kind of wondering, why aren't they running, because they're supposed to be rushing, running, protecting themselves. And those people were walking together and laughing and joking, chit-chatting. It didn't sound like something dangerous they're escaping from. So he started going to that kind of different structure for the masjid. And he saw them inside making specific, you know, rituals, going down, so he realized that this must be a place of worship. And then he said a few minutes later, though people were coming back right now, opening their store, and that life went back to normal. Then maybe 45 minutes later, Salatul Isha now, he started here with the same voice. Allahu Akbar. Then suddenly people started locking their doors and going back again to the masjid, and he did the same thing with them. He said that the whole congregation, to look at this congregation, huge congregation, to be organized in this system without anybody controlling them, just hearing a siren like this, a voice like this, organizing like this, said, this is not human. This must be divine. Because human being cannot do that naturally. It must be something that is above the level of humanity that brings into that organization, that system. So the adhan was made so special for that special worship. As-salah. As-salah is the only act of ibadah that requires from you purification. Siyam, do you have to be tahir when you start your day? No. Zakah, do you have to have wudu to give zakah? No. Hajj, do you have to have wudu when you perform the rituals of Hajj? No, all of them. Just the Tawaf. Even if you stay Arafah without wudu, you're fine. The only act of worship of these five pillars of Islam that requires from you purification is a salah. Regardless how good you smell, regardless how nice you look, if you don't have wudu, your salah will not be accepted. See how important salah is? And you have to have a state of tahara, purification, very special status to perform that salah. Salah, the obligation of salah is maintained regardless of your situation. If you're healthy, you pray. If you're tired, you pray. If you're sick, you pray. And subhanAllah, this is one of the miracles of this deen of Islam. Our patients, Muslims, who go to hospitals and they suffer some diseases, illnesses, maybe some health conditions and so on, one of the things that is so unique about them is that it gets basically sometimes to an irritating point between them and health providers because of the issue of salah. And I usually go to some of these hospitals and give them some presentations on how to deal with Muslim patients and so on. And they keep asking me about this issue. You know, some men and women, they're patients. Now, the moment they open their eyes, the person they ask about is, where's the Qibla? I mean, just worry about yourself right now. Then we'll talk about the Qibla later. But subhanAllah, Muslim harisna ala salat. They care for the salah because they know how valuable that is for them. And the first thing they say, what time is it now? They ask about the time. Why? It's not because they want to go and watch a program on TV or do something outside. No, because they want to know it's time for salah or not, that they missed salah or not. And they ask me, how should you deal with them? I said, well, you need to deal with them in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different scenarios and so on. Eventually, this is so fascinating. The people in the hospitals, they say, those Muslims are so basically so devoted. Nothing stops them. Someone is basically completely wrapped in all these wrappers and so on, and they don't want to make their salah. But they cannot use water. They say, can you bring me some dirt from the backyard? Or from downstairs? They want to make the end one. Says, we can't do that in the hospital. You get even sick. More than that. Says, no, just give me something. I just want to make the end one. SubhanAllah. Al-Muslim harisna ala salat. We care for that salah so much because we know how valuable that is for us. As-salah. It is so important, and the way of salah on judgment day is so heavy because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سُبِلْ عَنْهَا أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَفْضَلِ أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَفْضَلِ. Which of all these is the best? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا. To perform your salah ala waqtiha, which means on time. So one of these things on your account on judgment day, as we said in regard to the quality, they will check famously, salah, this one, you procrastinated on this one. This one was made 2 hours late. This one, you missed it. This one, you did this, this one, this. Just for your knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٌ وَكَبِيرٌ مُسْتَطَى. Which means everything. Which means everything would be written in your account. The little one and the major one. Everything was written there. You might say, SubhanAllah, what is that? Everything? So you didn't miss anything? They did not miss anything. Basically, your life is just like a digital recorder. Everything is recorded there. All what the angels need to do is just go back to the year so-and-so, day so-and-so, time of Salah so-and-so, to show you that on surveillance camera, what were you doing during that time of Salah? You were watching a game, or you were sleeping, or you doing whatever you were doing, missing that Salah. The angels will not miss that. It will be recorded. For that reason, Salah was made so special. For that reason, our ulama, they discussed the concept of Salah and what's the role of Salah. Our ulama, they discussed the value of Salah and the hukum of the person who does not make Salah. فَقَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ فِي مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةَ جَاهِلًا يعني أنكر وجوبها. من أنكر وجوب الصلاة وتركها جحودا فهو خارج عن الملة. By unanimous agreement, the ulama, they say, anyone who abandoned Salah knowingly, out of denial, which means denying the obligation of Salah, that this is an act of kufr, takes the person out of the fold of Islam. أَمَّا مَنْ تَرَكَهَا تَهَاوْنًا أَوْ تَكَاسُرًا. As for abandoning Salah out of laziness, procrastination, other reason, but if you always feel guilty that it did not make your Salah, فَاخْتَلَهُ بِهِ الْعُلَمَا. أَمَّا جُمُورُ الْفُقَهَا فَلَعَقَعَمْ أَنَّهُ فَاسِرٌ وَهَذَا عَمَلُ كُفُرٌ وَإِنْ كَانَ صَحِحُ وَلَيْسَ كَافِرًا. So they say that this person who abandoned Salah, the majority now, they say one who abandoned Salah, procrastination, laziness and so on, that he or she is not out of the fold of Islam, but the act itself is the act of those who are disbelievers. And the person is disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Disobedient to Allah azza wa jalla. In madhab Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, they say he is actually, or she is, kafir, out of the fold of Islam. You know what? Let it be that the person is just the subject of being disobedient or kafir, a matter of dispute. Just the idea of our Muslim scholars now discussing the value and the status of the person being between kufr and disobedience is so dangerous. Just the idea of some of them, they say, this person might go out of the fold of Islam, it is so dangerous. وَلِهَذَا عَبْدُ ibn Shafiq al-Aqili رَضِيَ اللَّهُ من التابعين قال لم يكن شيء عن الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم يعدونه كفرا مثل ترك الصلاة. The Sahaba did not consider anything kufr more than abandoning salah. Which means if someone abandons zakah, abandons siyam, it's an act of kufr but doesn't take the person necessarily out of the fold of Islam unless it denies that by heart. But when it comes to salah, just abandoning salah by itself is close to that level of being out of the fold of Islam. حَتَّى أَنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا بِأَنَّ تَرِكَ الصَّلَاةَ تَهَاوَنًا لَيْسَ بِكَافِرٍ وَقَعُوا الْآنَ بِالْخِلَافِ مَاذَا يَفْعَلْ بِهِ أَوْ بِهَا. Even those who said that he or she is not actually out of the fold of Islam, they discussed what should be the punishment. And some of them, they say, the punishment is the punishment of committing a major sin. يُسْتَتَرْ. قَالُ يُسْتَتَرْ. They bring him and they question him, why are you not praying? فَإِنْتَى وَإِلَّا قُتِلَ حَدًّا. So if this person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starts praying regularly, they will be left alone. If not, then some of them, they say that they should be actually executed as a capital punishment. And then they argue, what is that for? Is it because the person now becomes non-Muslim or disbeliever as an apostate? Or is this just now a punishment, a mithl had, just like when someone kills someone else? You do that as a kafara, as expiation for their sins. Again, the whole subject is just entertaining all these opinions, and the filth shows you how dangerous the subject is. You might agree or disagree, but it doesn't matter now. Just the idea that our Muslim ulama and scholars, they entertain the subject to that extent, makes it, wallahi, the idea itself is so dangerous. Not to pray your salah regularly. Al-An, even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, حذرا من أن لا يصل الإنسان إلى كبر، أمرنا أن نعلم ونمدب أبناءنا بالصراط. In order to avoid abandoning salah when we grow up old as an adult, the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded us to train our kids when they're young. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة لسبع. You need to command your children to pray when they're 7 years old. To command them, which means when you see them laying around, you tell them, did you pray? She says, no, I didn't. Okay, go and make wudu, put your clothes on and just make wudu, not make salah. Or, if it was time for salah, you start calling your kids. Come on, it's time for salah. And you line them up, and you make salah at home. So you command them, and if they didn't pray, did you pray? No, I didn't. Okay, you go and make wudu. Go and make your salah. So you teach your kids when they're 7. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعد ذلك قال وضربوهم عليها لعشر. He says, and you need to discipline them for that salah when they become 10 years old. Which means you spank them. You tell them that you didn't pray, come away. You start teaching them that it's something so important that you are going to be punished for that if you don't make it. You create this routine for them when they're young, and bi'idhni Allah it becomes easy for them as they grow older, bi'idhni Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So even kids, whom we suspect today, we say they are still young. I mean, they're still kids. We have children in our houses who are 10, 11, 12 years old, and all what they do at home is just playing games, video games. You tell them, did you teach them how to play? Well, they're still young. They're still young, they're still young, until they become teenagers, and then they come to us and they say, can you please teach my kid? So, well, wallahi, now I believe it's too late even for me to do anything. And then they start entertaining the idea themselves, saying, alhamdulillah, they're grown up right now, they become, you know, young adults, and they can make decisions for themselves. Yeah, but you did not give them the chance, the opportunity to weigh the two sides. You've never taught them how to make salah regularly. You've never helped them to be regular in the salah, and so now you want them to become regular in the salah, I think it would be unfair. So it is so important that Rasulullah ﷺ commanded us to teach our kids when they're young how to make their salah. Now, let's go back again to that scene, same scene of the Day of Judgment. Those people who were standing there in line waiting for their turn. Some people, the records, perfect, passed. Pass. And someone stopped. Hold on a second. Something is missing. Did you make it up? Yeah, it says that he made it up. Made up, let's say, 2 days later. Or after Sadr Asr or something like that. Okay, did you leave any extra credit? Let's see if they have Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, she has lots of credit. Even she has Qiyamul Layl. Oh, mashallah, that's even better. Because Qiyamul Layl is the best Salah after the Fard Salah. So he had a lot of good deeds over there in terms of Salah. Alhamdulillah, the Prophet ﷺ said that if that person had missed portion from the salah, the sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, "Undru hali abdi min tatawwu li dalil," anything optional or voluntary, and if they had, it would compensate for the loss in the obligatory one, and they will be saved. If nothing, they will be sent to Jahannam to pay for that mistake or for that missed salah in their life. The people now, those who are, iyadu billah, doomed in Jahannam, will be now in Jahannam, punished for that, to be purified. The people of Al-Jannah will pass over the bridge according to their deeds, as fast as they can according to their deeds. Some of them just like the lightning, some of them like the horse, some the running horses, and some of them like the lightning, the light itself. Some of them basically according to their deeds, and some of them will be crawling. And some of them will be just pulled and sent to Jahannam. When they pass to the other side of the bridge, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala kama fi Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet said that the Muslims, the believers, will be gathering there, all of them. And now they start looking at each other. يَنْظُرُ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ فَالْآنِ يَتَفَقَّدُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. So we see someone is missing there. فَيُنَادِ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا أَيْنَ فُلَانٍ. Where's this Fulan? Where's this lady? Where's this sister? Where's this brother? They try to see who's missing. فَيَنْظُرُ أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ افْتَقَدُوا بَعْضًا مِنَ النَّاسِ. They find that some of the believers are missing. They were believers, then they were missing. Now look how they call. What they asked for. قَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِخْوَانَا كَانُوا يُصَلُّونَ مَعَنَا وَيَصُومُونَ مَعَنَا لَنَرَهُمْ بَيْنَنَا. It says, our Lord, These were our brothers. Our brothers, they used to pray with us. They used to fast with us. We used to eat together, breaking our fast in Ramadan. We used to pray sometimes next to each other, foot by foot and shoulder by shoulder. They're missing. They're not there. We don't see them. Which means something wrong happened that caused them to go there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla, يَعْمُرْ أَنْ يَذْهَبُوا إِلَى جَنَّةٍ فَيَطَّلِعُوا إِلَيْهَا. So they go and they overlook through Jahannam. And they check those believers. And they will be recognized by the positions of their sujood and by the traces of their wudu. Is it time for Isha?
This is the time of Fajr.
Somewhere
else.
So eventually, they would go and they would see the people and they recognize them with the traces of wudu and the traces of their sujood, and they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make shafa'ah. Means to intercede for them. Ya Rab, can we take them out? Allah azza wa jalla rahmatihi wasa. Ya'murum fa'yakul idhab udhul. Where they will be screened and protected from Jahannam. And will tell them, go down there and get all those people that you can see who have in their hearts mithqala kada wa kada min iman. Go and check the amount of such and such an iman in their hearts and take them out. So the first amount would be mithqalu dinar min iman, mithqalu dirham, mithqalu darwa, mithqalu kada, mithqalu kada. They would look for one degree of iman at a time and they pull them out. By the time they're done from one, the other degree right now they've been suffering further and more. So they will pull out and so on until no one else who has dharra min iman, that the weight of an atom and their hearts of belief, no one will be left there in Jahannam. They will all be out. ثُمَّ يَقُونَ رَبَّنَا لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْهَا أَحْلَمَا مَا بَقِيَ فِيهَ إِلَّا مَنْ حَرَسَ الْقُرْآنِ. No one is left behind except those who have been locked there by the Qur'an. And they mean by that, قَالُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ وَيُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall forgive anything except for one sin, to set partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. So all of them will be out except for those people who had partners worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iyadun billah. And they will pull out, they will all march together towards Jannah al-Firdaws. Allahumma ja'alna min ahliha. Now this is now why it is so important. As-salatu ibadallah min ahammi a'mal al-insan. You don't want to really to be left out or left behind on Judgment Day. Don't be proud of yourself, of what you do. You need to be proud of what you achieve according to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know Allah azza wa jalla is commanding you to pray, then you should be doing that. إِذَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمَرَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. If you know that the Day of Judgment, the first question that it will be about Salah, then you should maintain that salah. إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ أَوَّلْ مَنْسَلْ عَنَ عَبْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَمَةَ فَعَلْهَ. وَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ لَيْسَ فَقَطْ بِالْعَدَدْ بَلْ حَتَّى بِالنَّوْعِ وَالصِّفَةِ وَكَيْفَ يُؤَدِّيهَا الْإِنسَانِ لِرَبِّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى تُرَاعِيهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَةٍ. So if you know that it's not just about how many rak'ah that you pray, it's how you did them. When you say how you did them, that also involves, first of all, the intention. Are we doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or just to please my parents, my teachers, my friends, whoever that person is? The second, when you do it, are you following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? هَلْ تُؤَدِّيهَا كَمَا أَدَّاهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَلْقَائِلْ صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ يُصَلِّي. He said to us, pray the way you see me pray. Now we haven't seen him pray sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ourselves, but the reports about his salah are there in books of hadith and sunnah. We have no excuse not to know how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his salah. You should learn that. And the third thing, when you do that salah, do you do it according to what we heard in the recitation for Salat al-Maghrib? And subhanAllah, this is so ironic. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. Successful are the believers. And the first quote was mentioned there, الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. Those who are not come to their salah, they have full khushur. And the meaning of khushur is to have that full focus and attention and concentration of your salah. Just a couple of nights ago, I gave an entire lecture on this. And how you could achieve that khushu' in your salah. Things that you need to take care of before you start your salah. Things you do when you're making your salah and after you're done, in order to achieve that khushu' and fulfill that obligation of concentration in your salah. So you have to make it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when you do it with that full khushu'. And number four, you don't be satisfied with just the five daily prayers. I have 8 years old children, a child, and 10 years old child, and they both, alhamdulillah, maintain the five daily prayers. So if you as an adult think that you can, that you're doing great, there are children who can compete with you. So don't be so happy with what you do, just the five daily prayers. What you need to do is add the extra credit, a sunnah. My kids, they're not very good when it comes to fulfilling the salawat. If they cannot just escape and just go away with it, they will do it. But they're still kids. And I will try to help them maintain their salah. But it's so crucial and important for us. We have another adhan over there. So it's so crucial that we fulfill our ibadah, our salah, in terms of quality, and add that extra credit to it, as sunnah, ibadallah. النصيحة النصيحة لنا ولكم أن يحافظ الإنسان على صلاته فليؤديها بوقتها. When you do it, you do it in that time with full tahara for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Following the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, added the extra credit to it, and you will guarantee yourself successful inshaAllah ta'ala pass on that bridge when they ask about your salah. It's the first question, and the answer is an open book exam. On day of judgment, you're not going to come there and say, honestly, no one told me about it. I have no idea, honestly, it wasn't in the book. It's an open book exam. The day of judgment, this is the irony about it. It's an open book exam, and many people fail. So you have the answer for it. You have all the answers for this. And we don't do our job, we don't go and study and dream. Therefore, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you know how to pray, alhamdulillah. Why don't you try to get another book? Attend another halaqah, another program, to see if your salah is up to the standard. If not, then alhamdulillah, still have the time to rectify that. And alhamdulillah, if you maintain your salah regularly, why don't you start learning more about the extra credits, as sunnah and nawafil? What else can I do? I need to know more. I don't just want to do the nawafil after salat al-dhuhr and after salat al-maghrib and al-isha. Is there anything else that I can do in order to increase my credit on judgment day? What else can I do as well in order to improve the focus and the concentration of my salah, the khushu' in my salah? What can I do to increase the level of the quality of my salah? All these things you need to consider in order to become among those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful are the believers, those who are in their salah, always خاشعون. اللهم اجعلنا الخاشعين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا الذين يحافظون على صلاتهم ويخشعون فيها. وإذا جاءوا يوم القيامة جاءوا بها كاملة محفوظة في أوقاتها وفي أحوالها. وأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا من أهل الجنة. اللهم آمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.